Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paulinos and I will talk with the governor of the great state of Mississippi, Haley Barbin. For his hat into the presidential race, we'll find out. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmaker.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in 1 day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back from Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome to the program Haley Barbin. He's the governor of Mississippi, potentially running for president. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. Glad to be here.
You were the topic of an article yesterday in the New York Times by Jeff Zeleny. The headline, a proud lobbyist in Southerner weighs president. He became wealthy as a lobbyist representing tobacco companies and foreign governments. A former Republican Party chairman, he would seem the ultimate Washington insider, a white Southerner, he has faced questions about his remarks on race. As he steps closer to becoming a presidential candidate, Governor Haley Barbin of Mississippi has some explaining to do, and rather than running away from his background, he is embracing it. Well, let's start out with you and your career as a lobbyist.
Well, I was a lobbyist for a number of years, and it's great training. Paul and I were sitting here talking about it before the show started. That's what presidents do for a living. The president is the chief advocate for the policies and interests of the United States. That's lobbying. I was the advocate for the state of Mississippi, am for the last 7 years and will be for the rest of this year. And presidents lobby Congress. They advocate our positions to our friends and our adversaries overseas. They lobby business. They lobby labor. They lobby the community leaders around the country. Again, one of the principal jobs of the President of the United States is to be the advocate for the interests and the policies of the United States government in our country and around the world. And that's what I have done for a living, and also it's very similar to what governors do.
What would you say is the biggest difference between you and George W. Bush?
Well, we have some different ideas about, I think in his administration we spent too much money. Our country can't spend itself rich anymore, and your family can spend itself rich. In fact, it's very clear. You can look back to 1980 on a month-by-month basis. The more government spending, the lower employment, the fewer people are working. Because the more government spending, you have less private investment. When government's sucking up all the money, how can the private sector grow? So I feel like in the administration, they let spending get a little too far out. The other thing is, I'm a Reaganite. I was political director of the White House under President Reagan. President Reagan was always very cautious about nation building. You know, President Reagan believed in peace through strength. George Washington said to keep the peace, prepare for war. And that's what Reagan did. And when Reagan used American power and projected it in the world, it was always overpowering and it was brief. Grenada, Panama, Libya. We've been in Afghanistan 10 years. I think we need to step back and take a look at it.
What, do you even know what the goal is in Afghanistan?
Well, that's just what I was going to say. We went to Afghanistan to win the war on terror. And that was critically important.
And we won that part in about 5 minutes.
Well,
because there was nothing left to bomb.
The war on terror is still going on, and we still have to win it. But does that mean we have to have 100,000 troops in Afghanistan? Does that mean we have to spend $2 billion a week in Afghanistan? And that's what we need to step back and take a look at. What is our mission, and have we suffered from mission creep? And I think it's past time for us to do that.
Okay, so you were advocating leaving Afghanistan?
Not advocating leaving Afghanistan. I'm advocating taking another look at the resources that we're putting there and see, do we really need all of that to meet what our true mission should be? That's to win the war on terror. The Defense Department and the intelligence agencies tells there are about 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. About 100. So Is that a 100,000 troop mission? I think we need to step back and take a look at that.
Governor, let's talk about your tenure in Mississippi. You've been a proponent of low taxes, economic development, tort reform. You've been able to attract some new industries into the state of Mississippi, like Toyota, auto manufacturing. What advice do you have for the state of Nevada that's dealing with 14.2% unemployment today on how we can maybe do what you've done? Follow some of the examples that Mississippi did as far as getting their economy up.
Look, you know, Nevada and Mississippi are different, but there are some similarities. My state is a largely rural state, just as Nevada is. A lot of Nevada is involved in natural resources, is involved in agriculture, and that's got to stay healthy. While we've been upgrading our industrial situation by replacing lower pay and lower skilled jobs with higher pay and higher skilled jobs, advanced manufacturing with advanced materials and energy, these have been big focuses for us. At the same time, we've tried to keep our rural industries healthy, like timber and agriculture. Our biggest commodity, by the way, our biggest agricultural product, everybody would think cotton, is chickens, is broilers. And we have worked very hard to keep markets open for our broilers, for our chicken companies. So, you know, some of this is applicable to Nevada in this sense. We have tried to diversify our economy. Our economy is much more diverse than it was just a few years ago. We have upgraded the skills of our workforce. You talked about Toyota. When Toyota, which was the most sought-after economic development project in the United States that year, when they chose Mississippi, the first thing they said was, we chose Mississippi because of the quality of its workforce. And we have invested much, much more than we ever have in the past in our state to improve the quality of our workforce. General Electric has built a plant in my state where they make composite jet engine fan blades and assemblies.
All right, let's just hold it right there. Let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back with more with Governor Barbour when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Local entertainment. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, potentially running for president. Okay, you got everybody's ears alert now talking about economic development. What did you do in the beginning to diversify the economy? How long did it take and how difficult was it?
Well, we focused on some sectors: automotive, aerospace, advanced manufacturing with advanced materials. Both of those fit right into there. Energy. And while we have a very large agricultural economy, services still create most of the jobs in Mississippi, just like they do nationwide. We focus on some things that are big employers, throw off lots of jobs, and that can be spread out. You get an automotive manufacturing plant, there's the city or the little town, in our case, that gets the plant, but there are lots of suppliers. And we looked at Georgetown, Kentucky, where Toyota built their first plant in the United States, 80-something suppliers. So different communities. You can spread out the jobs. You can spread out the investment. But we focused on some things that we thought we had a comparative advantage.
And what was that advantage beyond the workforce?
Well, workforce, low taxes, very favorable business climate, a very strong regulatory structure where people come to our state that they know the regulators are going to make sure they do what they're supposed to do, but they're going to get it done. They're going to get it done fast.
Did you offer financial incentives?
Yes, we do, but I'm going to tell you this. Most of the really big deals that you get, financial incentives are about third. Workforce is first. Logistics, critically important. Quality of the highways, we have the Mississippi River, the Tennessee Tombigbee Waterway, we have FedEx in Memphis right on our state line, and we have two deep water ports on the Gulf of Mexico. Those are all important part of the logistical match. We also, when I ran for governor, I said, look, our universities are economic development gold mines. We're just not doing a very good job of mining them. So we have really upgraded what we do at universities that were just doing research and development. They're now taking that to application and on to commercialization. Hugely important.
Did you fund those?
Yes, sir. We already had some of this that was going on. We just were not focused on it and making it part of their mission. Yeah, my university presidents right now will tell you among their missions is to help grow the economy of the state of Mississippi through their research. The Polymer Institute at Mississippi State, at the University of Southern Mississippi, the Rasput Flight Institute at Mississippi State University, and the Center for Manufacturing Excellence at Ole Miss, the East Center at Jackson State. Those are our four research universities. But we worked at it. Economic development is work, and the governor has to be the chief economic development officer if you don't succeed.
How important is it having low taxes and implementing tort reform for economic development?
You know, Paul, before I became governor, I had gotten elected. Before I was inaugurated, we had 700 people from business community, academics, politicians, community leaders, came to Jackson. We talked about what are the most important things: tort reform, quality of the workforce, don't raise taxes. So how important is my business leaders, the people that create jobs in our state, said of the three priorities, it's one of the three. And I can tell you, the revenue of the state of Mississippi my first 4 years as governor went up 40% without raising anybody's taxes. We did it by growing the economy. We had more taxpayers with more taxable income. You know, some people say you can't grow yourself out of a deficit. Well, we did. Now, we controlled spending, but I can tell you this, you can't spend yourself out of a deficit. We know that for sure.
You know, you express some tremendous leadership to crises that have happened to your state during your tenure as governor, the first being Hurricane Katrina. The other was last spring and summer dealing with the Gulf oil spill. What did you learn from those experiences that you believe can help you, you know, if you matriculate up to the presidency?
Now, being governor is probably the job that is most like being president. But it is hardly like being president. Being president is so much bigger, more complex, more diverse. But having to deal with a mega disaster, the worst natural disaster in American history, which was what Katrina was, we lost 100,000 units of housing in a state of only 3 million people. We had utter obliteration. And what you learn is that the private sector has to rebuild your state, that lobbying the federal government to get support, and more importantly, for the federal government to allow us to use the resources for our priorities and what we think needs to be done rather than what Washington thinks needs to be done. All of that was very, very important. But at the end of the day, the strong, resilient, self-reliant people of Mississippi rebuilt our state, and rebuilt it bigger and better than ever before because they had hope and they knew we were going to get the job done. They knew their communities were going to come back. And that is so critical in doing this, to manage the disaster in a way that people feel confident that when they go home to Biloxi or D'Iberville or Pass Christian, that their community is going to come back. Their jobs are going to be there.
All right, let's take a break. I'm going to come back and give the whole show to Governor Barber. We'll be right back after this timeout.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken, from up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Drive your favorite Volkswagen with fuel efficiency you're going to love at Lithia Volkswagen of Reno. Choose from a great lineup of 31-plus MPG VWs. CC and GTI, both 31 miles per gallon. Golf and Jetta Sportwagon, 33 miles per gallon. And the Guinness World Record was set last year by the Jetta TDI Clean Diesel with a whopping 58.82 miles per gallon in a Continental Tour of the U.S. But right now, get the 34 MPG new 2011 Jettas for just $179 a month lease for 39 months. Get great deals on your favorite fuel-efficient VWs at Lithia Volkswagen of Reno.
The odds of this daughter of a clergyman spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the governor of the great state of Mississippi, Haley Barbour. I wanted to ask you, what do you think, because you've talked about the response of Mississippi to Katrina, but what was the great failure on the part of the federal government?
I will tell you this, Sam. The federal government did more right than did wrong.
Really?
They really did.
But why do you think that never came out that way?
Well, two reasons. At the beginning, they made a bad start. Their logistical system simply failed, and that had a big effect. But let me tell you, anybody who thinks that in a mega disaster everything's going to go right doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, we had no roads, no electricity, no water, no sewer, and we had 48 million cubic tons of debris. So nobody was perfect. But after they got their logistical problems kind of worked through, or we adjusted to them, they did a whole lot more right than wrong. People thought, though, that they were supposed to be the first responders. That is not FEMA's role. FEMA had 2,600 employees when Katrina hit in the whole country. And we had thousands and thousands and thousands of first responders. But their job is training, planning, cash register.
But why do you think that companies like Sprint and Walmart were there before the disaster struck? They were ready to go.
Well, because they are, frankly, better organized on the front end than FEMA was. But as I said, by the time it was over, FEMA did a whole lot more right than wrong. But right at the outset, they were crushed, and so was everybody else. We had a great plan for a hurricane, but nobody ever dreamed that the hurricane would obliterate the coast. I mean, we thought Camille was the gold standard for hurricanes. This storm was so much bigger, so much worse than Camille. The storm surge was 38 feet deep. And 75 miles from the eye of the storm, it was still 20 feet deep. So the whole coast was just totally inundated. And the people that did well, I'll tell you, the company that was the greatest standard was Mississippi Power, the electrical company. Got the electricity back on in 12 days. Every customer that they had lost electricity, and every customer who could receive power had it in 12 days. With Camille in 1969, it was 50-something days. Another company was great, Chevron. Chevron was spectacular. The refineries knocked out. They told us, and we told every first responder, just come by and get free fuel. We'll just give it to any fire truck, any police car. And when the storm was over, they found out that the government help for rebuilding didn't apply to private preschools. They rebuilt every preschool in the three counties on the coast.
Let's talk about the oil spill, because that's a little more recent. Yeah. How is Mississippi recovering from that disaster in the Gulf?
Well, the truth is, for us, it was an economic disaster, not really an environmental disaster. Over the course of the months and months, our 80-mile coastline, we closed one section, 3 miles of beach, one time for 2 days. We were able to clean up what hit us as it came on every day as it happened. But we're farther away from the well than Louisiana. Louisiana had problems we didn't have, brown, wet oil. By the time the, quote, oil got to us, it was more like tar. It had weathered. The lighter cuts had evaporated off, so what you have is the heavier stuff. Tar balls, we call them, and we've always had tar balls, because the Gulf of Mexico, like Santa Barbara, the Gulf of Mexico seeps 250 to a million barrels of oil a year, every year, naturally.
Right.
But our tourist season was annihilated because the news coverage made it look like the whole Gulf of Mexico was knee-deep in oil. That was the disaster for us, an economic disaster. Environmentally, knock on wood, it appears today that the Gulf has essentially digested all of this oil, and that we're not going to have a lot of really bad long-term problems or even significant long-term problems, except for a few places in Louisiana that were much, much closer to the
Williot. How do you think the federal government's response was to the oil spill?
We have about 30 seconds.
I would say BP and its partners' response was they tried to do everything that could be done. And I'm not going to be critical of the Obama administration on this. Nobody ever had to deal with something like this. But they didn't get a lot better. The Bush administration after Katrina, as we went along week to week, they got better and better and better. That didn't really happen this time in the oil spill.
All right, I've got one last question for you. I've got about 30 seconds here. In the article in the New York Times, you talked about saving money at the Pentagon. What kind of things would you be looking at to cut? Because the military has been insidious in the fact that it has something in every single state in the union, so nobody wants to cut anything.
Well, we Republicans will have no credibility if we say we've got to make savings, but the Pentagon's off limits. Anybody who's ever been in the Pentagon knows the Pentagon can save money. I mean, when you say the federal bureaucracy spends too much money, you cannot exempt the defense bureaucracy. It's exactly the same way.
Would you name
but
three
we don't
programs?
Need we don't need to get rid of weapon systems necessarily. You can save huge amounts of money by management. Who says so? Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has publicly said the Defense Department's gotten so much money over the years that they don't know how to budget anymore.
That's a pretty powerful statement, and that's where we're going to end it. Thank you so much for being here, sir, and we hope as you move further down the road to declaring your candidacy for president that you'll come back and see us again. Thank you, Sam. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
I want new carpet.
Something softer.
And stronger.
Well, I've got four kids, so I want...
Stain resistant.
It's in my head, and it's just kind of beautiful.
I'm not looking for that cheap home center stuff.
It's got to be affordable.
Because I'm on a budget. Durable. Livable. Just beautiful.
Sure. Follow me.
Every carpet and every floor is on sale now. Special financing available. Giant Carpet One Floor and Home. The one store for your perfect floor.
Escape to the country without even leaving your living room. All thanks to the Paula Deen collection at RC Willie. I just love the warm colors and cozy textures. It makes it so easy to create a homey environment in your entire home. One piece or one room at a time. When it comes to casual, there's no place more comfortable. Shop the entire collection at RC Willie now, where you can make your home your way.
People say to me, gosh, you look great. And I say, why, thank you. Because, of course, I haven't really told too many people that I did this, and no one really knows until now.
Imagine how it feels to look completely refreshed and years younger in one easy step.
After the age of 40, most women get into the mirror and they do a little temporary fix. When you have the quick lift done, it's not a temporary in the mirror thing, it's lasting.
Haven't you waited long enough? Isn't it your turn to turn back the clock? Call now to schedule your quick lift appointment.
I feel amazing. I never thought a quick procedure could be that easy and have such a great result.
Now is the time to join the thousands of women just like Janet who are enjoying the lasting beauty of the quick lift. Call now to receive a free brochure at 1-800-321-LIFT. That's 1-800-321-LIFT. Call now.
On our next broadcast, we'll have a representative from a solar energy company that wants to get rid of government incentives. An interesting theory. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.